Hear the word of God, as it is written in Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 2. Colossians, chapter 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. This is the word of God.
Friends, if you're visiting perhaps this morning, it's lovely to have you. We go verse by verse through Paul's letter to the Colossians on Sunday morning, and it's the most wonderful, wonderful book. And we're in chapter 2 this morning in verse 8 to verse 12, and it's one of those passages in the Bible that you and I need to really understand and wonderfully accept and put into practice. So I hope it's going to be like that for you this morning. And I've called it Fullness in Christ. And I hope it's of great help. So let's pray as we come. Lord, those are precious words. They really, really are. They remind us that you walk with us and you talk with us and you tell us we are your own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, no one has ever known. And we thank you that as your children, saved by your grace and by your mercy, we can know that. We know that life has got many challenges, and yet through them all, you've promised, I will be with you forever. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for being with each one of us during this last week. Thank you that each one of us here today can lift up our heart and say thank you. Thank you, precious Father, for being the most wonderful God, the most gracious Father, so kind, so merciful in every way, a God who has promised that all things are working together for good. There are no mistakes. There are no contradictions. Everything working for good. These are precious to us, Father. And I pray now that as we turn to the Word, longing to grow and mature in our spiritual life, that you will speak through us and bring us afresh to Jesus. In Christ's name. Amen. You know, friends, I know that many of you read and enjoy the books of Warren Wiersbe. It's a very, very helpful writer. And he said these words, if I can just share them with you. He says, I urge you to note the details of this passage with great care, because I am convinced that the truths of this portion of God's Word can bring a dramatic change in a believer's life once they are applied. It's one of those passages in the Bible, friends, that you and I really need to not only understand, but to grasp and apply. And the reason why I say that is because there are many teachings today, philosophies, sometimes under the umbrella of being Christian, that say this to you. They will say, you've come to Christ. Now that's a wonderful thing, and that's helpful. But there's something more. If you want a closer walk with God, or a deeper experience with Jesus, then you must experience this. Or perhaps you must come to this course, Or perhaps you need to go on that retreat. Or perhaps you need to experience this experience. You see, what they are saying is just like they did at Corinth. When Paul left, the false teachers came in. And this is exactly what they were saying. Jesus Christ is not enough. We've got something extra. We've got something else. We've got something in addition. And what Paul gives us in this passage this morning is probably the most beautiful answer that we could ever find. And what he's going to come to them and say is, no. We have got fullness in Jesus. So there are just two things this morning, and then we're going to have communion. And what a wonderful preparation for this table we're going to have today. The first thing is, he teaches them in verse 8 about the false teaching that there was in those days. See verse 8, he says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. So Paul has a look now at this philosophy. And brothers and sisters, it's important what I'm going to share with you this morning. Number one, he says it's mere philosophy. It's mere philosophy. Now, philosophy is dangerous. And it's dangerous in many ways. The one way is because with a sense of a deep love for knowledge and a desire for the truth, often the philosophers go away from God. And they go away from the Bible. And they go away from Jesus. So that sometimes you'll see it on the lamppost going through the main road. Say, come to this course on practical philosophy. Come for 6 weeks. It'll change your life and give you peace. Now, they run those courses regularly. Behind all the songs that you and I listen to, behind the magazines, behind the movies, behind the DVDs, behind all the art and behind all the poetry, behind all these things is philosophy. What do people think and how do they act? Paul says the people that came into you were coming with a philosophy, a search for knowledge, a desire for the truth. But number two, it is hollow. That's what the Bible says. It is hollow. There's no content. It promises you lots of things, but it can't produce. So you may be invited to a retreat, or you may be invited to a seminar, or you may be invited to a conference, or you may be given a book on somebody that's had some experiences or another. Careful, friend. It's hollow philosophy. It's hollow. And why is it hollow? Because it's devoid of the truth. It's void of power. And it's void of hope. It's hollow. Not only is it hollow, but he says, thirdly, it's deceptive. It's deceptive. It may claim to be Christian. It may claim to have the right words. It may claim to have the right understanding. It may make all sorts of claims. But at heart, says Paul, it's deceptive. And fourthly, he says, it's based on the basic principles of this world. But the biggest is number five. Rather than on Christ. And now he gets right into the heart. She says, you know the basic problem? Is that the people who came to you came with fine sounding arguments, promised you all sorts of things, but at heart, it was not centered, focused, grounded on the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And once he says that to us, he says, now let me explain to you. And my second thing I'm going to show you this morning is not only the false teaching, but what's the answer, friend? What's the answer? Now, you know what it's like. I was cutting my grass last summer, hoping to do it again in 3 weeks' time. Have a bit of a break. And you know what it's like. Cutting the grass and two people came to my gate. You know those people wanting me to buy their magazines. You know those folks. So I said to them, my friend, I want to ask you only one thing. If you get this right, I promise you I'll buy your magazine. But if it's wrong, I want you to go. Is that all right? So he said, sure. What's the question? I said, who is Jesus? He said, he's a good man. I said, yes, he is. He's a great prophet. I said, yes, correct. He's the Son of God. Yes. Anything else? I said, no, you've missed the big one. Is he God? No. I said, well, that's where you're wrong. Because the Bible tells me that he is. And brothers and sisters, listen to Paul as he helps you and me to see this. The first thing that he shows them in the most wonderful way is that there is fullness in Christ. See verse 9 with me? He says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. What does that mean? That means, point A, that God's fullness was in Christ. Listen, my dear friends. See verse 9? It says, in Christ, all of God's fullness. What does all mean? All. Even Scott can understand that. But you see, friends, all doesn't say some or a little bit. It says all of God's fullness. As God, the eternal Son, Jesus always possessed the fullness of the Godhead, all the attributes and the very nature of God. Listen to what it says. All the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. What that means is that all the attributes, all the nature, all of God came and took up residence in the bodily form of Jesus. As God, the Son, Jesus shared equally in the essence of deity. When he became man, this fullness came to dwell in a human nature. Now that is critical. It's at that point that you and I, with grace and love, differ from every other major religion. And that is where you and I differ from every other cult. Everyone will say to us, Jesus is a good man and a good teacher and a good prophet. But they don't go enough. We say, He is God. Equal to God. All God's fullness dwelt in bodily form in Christ. So that Jesus could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, the second thing is that it doesn't only tell me that God's fullness was in Christ, but listen to what it now says. Next verse. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. So now Paul's teaching these people to come and say that I am missing on something. There's something lacking, or there's something I'm missing out on, or there's something in addition. He's crazy. Paul says all God's fullness was in Christ. Christ is in you. So you have been given fullness in the Lord Jesus Christ. All believers are complete in Christ. The concept, if I may share it with you, that is behind this verb construction is that they became complete in Christ at conversion. They presently stand in a position of total spiritual completeness before God. That is amazing. That is incredible, my friends. Someone likes the detail. Here it is. The passive voice of that verb shows that God completed believers through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who applied the positional benefits of Christ's redemptive work to them. You are complete in Christ. And my friends, you cannot add anything to completeness. What does that mean? That means this, from the Bible. There is no special ceremony. There is no ordinance. There is no tradition of any special experience that now needs to be tacked on to the person and work of Christ. What can be added when the believer does not already possess completeness in Christ? You are complete in Jesus. Murray's wife, Jane, when her mom passed away of cancer some years ago, her mom left her a lovely little cottage at Umtulumi. And sometimes we go and have some lovely holidays with them down the coast. And we were walking down the beach one day, and I saw a family. There was the husband and the wife and their child in the sea, and the father was baptizing the child. It was robed and all sorts of things. And I stood on the side and watched it. And then when they'd finished, they came out and being naughty, and I said, yeah, it was interesting. Won't you explain to me what happened? Why were you doing all these different things? And he said, you know, because if I do this here in the particular way that I'm doing it, in the sea, it's going to bring great blessing on my child. Well, one would never argue with him. But he was wrong, wasn't he? Because that doesn't bring you closer to God. Jesus does. I don't need that. And I was opening up the church some years ago, and opening the windows, getting it all ready for the congregation, a man came off the street and said to me, he was jolly rude, I thought, and he said, you know what? You are very disobedient. I said, you? Thank you. Why am I disobedient? And he said to me, because you are worshipping on Sunday. You should go to church on Saturday. I said, my friend, I'd like to go to church every day. But you see, it's the day. You see, there's so many things like this. When I first became a Christian, I was at Rhodes University studying for divinity and all of that, and I was invited to my friend's church, and they pulled me to the front, laid hands on me, and tried to get me to speak in tongues. Because they said, if you do, then you're going to have greater blessing. That's not true. Because we have fullness in Christ. And you can't add to fullness. Whatever I need is in Jesus. I don't need anything else. I don't need any ceremony. I don't need any experience. It's all in Christ. All the fullness of God was in Christ. And all of Christ lives in us. We have what? Fullness. Praise the Lord for that. To have Jesus Christ in your life is the most wonderful thing in the world. I don't need to look for anything else. I just need to grow every day to love Him more. Just need to grow every day to be more humble, more devout, closer to Him. Spend more time in His Word every day and in prayer. But I can't add to what Jesus has given me. And then lastly, what else do you have? You've got not only fullness, but number two, you've got fellowship. They're the two F's. Fullness and fellowship. Fullness and fellowship. And look how he brings it out, and then we're going to have Holy Communion. Verse 11 and 12. In him, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ. Oh, praise the Lord for that. He says, Christians, let me remind you what's happened to you. First thing that's happened, you were circumcised. Now, of course, it's got nothing whatsoever here to do with physical circumcision. The whole context, the whole thrust of the argument is not saying that. So he says this, that you have received not a circumcision done by the hands of men, not some intricate operation. Listen, verse 11, but you have received the circumcision of Christ. That's what's happened to you, friend. You've been circumcised in your heart by Jesus Christ. What's that mean? Tell you what it means. Christ, by His Spirit, has come to you and cut. You're all looking at me as if I've gone crazy. Now it's true. What did He cut? Your old nature. What you were in Adam has been cut. Not only that, he says, secondly, you were buried. You were buried. The old you was put in a box 6 foot under. You were buried. The old you that you were in Adam has been buried. Praise the Lord for that. Is that all? No, not all. You were circumcised by the Spirit. You were buried. The old you was buried. And then thirdly, you have been raised with Him. This is the picture of a conversion. Formerly, when you were in Adam, you were dominated by that fallen nature. But now that you are in Christ, that sinful nature has been put off. Now we realize that we are brand new people, and as such, we assert our new authority over sin, which still dwells in our members, but is not ruling in our lives. We were buried. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and was buried in the tomb, all believers were spiritually identified with Him in those acts. We were buried, and now we have been raised. Brand new people. Brand new people. nothing can ever compare to that. Now, remembering that, my precious friends, that God came to you. God did. I want to remind you, you and me were dead spiritually, ruled by the fallen nature of the world, and God sent his Son to die on a cross for you, and God sent his Spirit, and he applied it to your own heart, and God gave you the grace to come to Christ. And having put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have now received the fullness of Christ. Everything that God wants to give you is now in Jesus. The old you was circumcised. The old you was buried. You have been raised. And now we seek to live for Christ. To live for Christ alone. In my very small experience, I think these last couple of weeks for me, I'm afraid I'll never, ever, ever be the same again. That's the way it is. And that's the way it's going to be. And what you realize is that all the things that the world emphasizes are not important. They actually are irrelevant. They actually don't matter. In actual fact, you don't want them. What does matter? What does matter unbelievably is your relationship with Jesus. That's all that counts. And I'm so proud of my son. It's been fantastic as a father to see a young boy of 13 facing such a massive operation with a future cancer. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And you know what? It doesn't matter about money. It doesn't matter about degrees. It doesn't matter what you do here, there, or everywhere. The only thing that counts is my relationship with Jesus. And you know what, friend? I hope that's okay with you this morning. That you can say to me, Warwick, God's done this for me. My old life has been crucified, buried. I've been raised as a Christian. And I found in Jesus fullness in fellowship. Friend, I can only say to you from the heart, I can't do more than that. But I want to say to you, things are not right with Jesus this morning. I want you to put it right. I can't do that for you. You've got to do it. When you come and kneel at this communion rail this morning, say, Lord, I want to put it right. Maybe you've drifted. Put it right. Maybe you're looking for all sorts of other things. Don't need to look anywhere else. It's your relationship with Jesus. If that's right, you've got everything. There's fullness, fellowship in knowing Christ. Well, should we pray together? Father, we thank you for the joy and privilege of studying the Bible, and just an amazing passage this morning. And I want to thank you for saving us and the new life that you have given to us in Jesus Christ and the fullness we have in him and the fellowship. And be with us now, Lord, such a simple meal. But oh, the most wonderful meal we could ever have. Won't you move among our pews right now, drawing us by your Spirit to love you and to so deeply appreciate what you did for us. You know everyone here today, Lord. Won't you meet everyone at their point of need right now? In Jesus' name, amen.